Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk today about the gift, presence, power, and life of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is a new life in the Holy Spirit. Christianity is life, and that life is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The thing that makes Christianity entirely unique is that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is revealed a Trinity, that God is a Trinity of persons in fellowship, and that they came. This is the Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of a loving Father, St. John Paul II said, and goes in search of man who is lost, and goes in search not just to scold or not just to, you know, give them a bigger book to read or a set of spiritual practices or something. He came to save. And he did that by becoming one of us in the incarnation, that astounding reality of the condescension of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. You know, Christ, who became Son of Mary, who took on human flesh, and heaven and earth came together perfectly in the Son. Heaven and earth that was separated by the fall in Genesis. When Adam and Eve, our first parents, said no, great separation happened. I talked about it yesterday. And that separation begins to be healed and transformed and made new and recreated in the person of Jesus when he takes on human flesh. And the Holy Spirit makes it possible. The Holy Spirit, Jesus was conceived, Scripture reminds us, conceived by the Holy Spirit. It was a work of the Spirit in Our Lady. It was the Spirit overshadowing Our Lady. It was the Spirit contemplating in her heart what the Holy Spirit was saying. It was Our Lady's Spirit giving Our Lady the power to articulate her fiat, thy will be done, to welcome this plan of salvation and to cooperate. It was the Holy Spirit that allowed her to be immaculately conceived. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, who's known through his actions. This is what we've been talking about all week long, and the Holy Spirit is present in you and present in me. And you know, for the apostles in the early church, the Holy Spirit, some scholars have said, was a lived experience before it became a written dogma or a written reality fully understood. They experienced the power of God. We know the story of Pentecost, and that's our inheritance. We're meant to be filled with the Spirit. We're not meant to just, friends, have a clear doctrinal understanding of the fact of the Holy Spirit's presence. We are. That's meant to underline it for sure. But the Holy Spirit's a person. The Holy Spirit's not a principle in the sense of he's not a philosophical premise or something. He's not a law, a written law. He's the new law. He's the living life of God that's present in the people of God, in the children of God, at work in us. And it's so precious. And there's no power like it either. And this is why I've been talking about it all week, to help us press in more to the Holy Spirit now. So the ways in which the church, you know, brings to us the Holy Spirit. Remember that I think on Tuesday I talked about the catechism teaches us that the place we know the Spirit is in the church that we're baptized into when we're baptized into Christ. And the church is the place where we learn the Spirit through the Scriptures, through the sacraments, through the mission, through the service, through the saints, and all of that's where it comes alive for us. And that's why right now in this time, especially over the next 2 months, or the next month and a half, I guess, or 2 months, when we're entering into the election here in the United States, which is going to be maybe the most intense election of our lifetime. And the hostilities and the people that are stoking revolution, the divide, the hurt, the pain, the political divide, the anger, the confusion, the lust for power, all the stuff that's present is going to be a big storm. You know, the storm's already brewing, and it's going to be intense. But we're meant to be calm in the storm. We're meant to be lights in a dark moment in the world. We're meant to be salt in the midst of all this, that where it's gone flat. We're meant to be peacemakers in the middle of a war that's going on, of a great divide in our country in so many ways. But that we can't do according to our own flesh. If you don't believe me, just stop in a minute and think about those moments you've been consumed in this storm around us. Either really angry at a politician, just so fearful you can hardly sleep at night thinking about what's going on, or maybe escaping it or whatever it is, all those kinds of things that we're battling through, those are works of the flesh responding to the pressures of a fallen world, the disordered energy that's in the world, and the demonic forces that are at work in the midst of it. Whenever you see this much deception and lying and corruption and violence and murder and, you know, these are the breaking of the commandments, the dishonoring of God's name, the obliteration of honoring his holy day, the dishonoring, children dishonoring parents in the way they're being, living, acting, people being murdered, stealing, envy, coveting people's possessions, destroying, not living by the gold. All that is the kingdom of darkness. And it's so dark that our politicians are calling it, and our scholars are writing books trying to validate, you know, looting, validating every kind of violent act. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of darkness. There's people stepping forward who are under the dominion of darkness, and they're speaking dark things. They're communicating the deceptions of the enemy. So we're living in the midst of that. We can live differently. We can walk in peace. We can be conduits of it. The meek inherit the earth. The political battles and the wars in the world are often not among the meek. It's about human beings exerting their will to dominate, who want control for whatever reasons. Jesus makes clear the meek inherit the earth. All this stuff's passing away anyway. So Jesus says, come and learn from me. Well, how do I learn to live differently? How am I able to do it? Through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. Jesus subdued all that disordered energy. He subdued it all, and he lived differently. And then he gave his Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they lived differently. And he gave it to the saints, and they lived differently because of their radical abandonment and trust to it. This is our inheritance, friends. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, to where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Yes, it's important to be engaged in politics. It's important to be to vote your conscience in the right way, to inform your conscience and do all that stuff. Certainly. Do everything we can to, you know, the government has to do its job, you know, to subdue the forces that are at work, you know, in the streets and the rest of it. That has to happen. It's appropriate. But we have to remember who we are so that we don't live in fear. We don't fall back into fear, like Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. He said, remember who you are. He said, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He's talking about this works of the flesh that are rising up in people like crazy. You know, the madness that's there. That's what it is. These are works of the flesh being stoked by the enemy, the storms that he's stirring up, the power of the world that's pressing in, and they have no protection against it. The only protection against it is, like Paul's saying, if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. This is a moment of extraordinary challenge and a moment of even greater opportunity. We have one life to live, friends. And no matter how old you are, the time we have here is short. It really is. It's going to be over for you soon and for me. we have a chance to witness, to be witnesses. Another word of witness is martyr. Who gets honored in the kingdom of God? Is it the rich and the powerful and everybody with their trophies and this, that, and the other thing in this world? That who gets honored in the kingdom of God? The meek, the lowly, the humble, the peacemaker, the one who exalts the Lord and doesn't exalt himself. And ultimately, we see in the book of Revelation that extraordinary section where you see the victory of the Lamb and those that are sharing in his victory, who conquered the enemy. How? By the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. What does that mean? They conquered. Well, first of all, what was to be conquered? The power of sin and death. And the only place that gets conquered is in the blood of Jesus Christ through his death on Calvary. Friends, there are people in the world, people in our country and other places, who have thrown off Christ. There's all these brilliant scholars from universities and other places who are enamored by their own brilliance, nothing more than the pride of mind. And they've made it clear to us that there is no God. The public discourse should never include, you know, grand stories about God, about the existence of God, about universal truths, about objective reality. And they've stepped into unreality by rejecting God. And because God doesn't exist, because there's no natural law, there's no revealed law, there's no order, there's no design, we're left here in this sort of madness. It's all about exercising the will, and now it's time to seize. It's another one of those moments in history, people trying to seize power, and it's disordered energy, it's foolishness. It's going to go nowhere. Because they have a conviction they're going to fix the world. Yeah, sure. The world can't be fixed. It can't. The peace they promise, the utopia they seek. I guess utopia means no place, right? It's not going to happen. The only genuine peace is the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from the King, from Christ. And if his church, what the world is hungering for, they don't even know it, is the church to be the church. They think the church is their enemy, but they don't have any other hope. They're trying to hope in something. But when the church is compromised, lukewarm, detached from the life of the Spirit, lost identity, living like orphans, they don't see any hope. But the Lord is calling us, friends, to go deep. Go deep. Pursue God. Be hungry for God. Listen to the Spirit. Feed your spirit. Gather with others. Get dead serious about your faith so you too can be honored, not in this world, but in the kingdom to come. And your name would be echoed throughout all eternity from the lips of the King. How about that? Have a great weekend, friends. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.